That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, efficiency. Efficiency experts help business produce their goods faster and with minimal effort. Could this introduction be more efficient? Let's try. Tonight, efficiency expert Gwynne Bird. She talks, plus theme songs they play. Stay tuned. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to increase the efficiency of our discussions every week, attempting to maximize conversational productivity. And now, please welcome the woman who doesn't just throw a monkey wrench into our topical assembly line, she throws an actual monkey, Paula Poundstone!
Yay! Yeah.
Hey, you guys!
Yeah.
Hey, so lovely to be with you. Hey, Adam. And thanks so much to tonight's house band, Nobody's sister, Dorothy, on the electric guitar. She's a professional musician from Winnipeg, Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Love me that sister, Dorothy.
Sister Dorothy, thanks so much. She's not a nun, right?
No, she's not a nun. She can be if she wants, but she's not.
I have to address the elephant in the room before we go further, which is that... Of us elephants, one of us isn't actually in a room right now. She's in a car. So before we even get to our book club, Bonnie Burns, what's up?
Well, I want to say, if you live in Thousand Oaks, we tape this show around 5 o'clock, and it's apparently a really good time to go to the Trader Joe's because there's no line. I'm in the parking lot in front of Trader Joe's. There's no line here. I'm parked opposite the... Arbolay's Animal Clinic, PJ's Pub, and the Subway.
But you're not there because you're our new grocery correspondent.
No. A lot going on all five out today. There's a Hawaiian shirt all shortage.
All the power's out in Simi Valley. So I had to keep driving until I hit a place where there were traffic lights. And to be honest, I was having a hard time getting a hotspot for my phone. So I called my daughter and she said, meet me in the parking lot at Trader Joe's. So that's how I ended up here.
Why didn't she just say go to Trader Joe's? Why did she say meet me in the parking lot? Were you no longer able to function at that point? What, I don't understand why you needed to meet her.
No, I drove until I had reception on my cell phone, and then I couldn't get on the hotspot, so I called her to see what to do, and then she said, meet me in the parking lot at Trader Joe's, because she was, you know, it was like a halfway thing to get there faster, and it was like, what was that show, Network or something, where they were like racing to get something on the air? I was racing to get you guys some changes for the script and get to... By the time we started the show, it's like a whole thing.
Wow, that's a whole
thing. I said, meet me in the animal clinic.
Yeah, I still don't understand why she had to meet you. Does it have anything to do with the pretzels with peanut butter in them?
No, she picked a place that we both knew. Why is this difficult for you?
I think Paula's not getting that your daughter was supplying some tech support for you to get you set up.
Is that true?
Well, yeah. Why do you have Wendell?
I don't know.
Well.
All right. Paula's taking way too long to answer that for Wendell's comfort.
Anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I hope it lasts.
Thank you. I hope it lasts too, Bonnie. And you know what? Speaking of epic tales that take a long time to get there, let's go to our book club in Moby Dick.
Wait a minute. First of all, let's check in with Tony at the Piggly Wiggly. Tony, are you there? This is our shopping spree episode that's so popular. I'm at the 7-Eleven, Adam.
I'm over at that newfangled Ralph's with the cheese sommelier.
Oh, nice. I'm right now wearing my 7-Eleven smock, which not all the employees wear, but I do. I do.
All right. So for those of you who are just tuning into this podcast for the first time, first of all, welcome aboard. It's episode 134 or so. And we just started a book club. We're reading Moby Dick together. So,
I just want to repeat that part of the impetus for beginning the book club was that I listened to Pod Save America and Jon Favreau on Pod Save America. One of his New Year's resolutions, I believe it was last year, was to read more. And he confessed at this New Year's that he hadn't met that goal. And so I just want to repeat an invitation to Jon Favreau from Pod Save America. Please join us in our book club. And also, when it's safe again, our podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, would like to challenge the Pod Save America people to a basketball game.
Right, a book club basketball game.
That's a great idea.
It is a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, we love that idea. I can shoot some hoops. Okay.
It sounds like a terrible idea.
We are a little bit height challenged in our backcourt, I have to say. I think if Tony stood on Bonnie's shoulders, they might be 5.5 feet tall.
Exactly.
It's not all height, you guys. It's not all height. A lot of it's ball handling skills.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Okay, so let's start with you, Paula. How far did you get in Moby Dick, and what are you thinking?
Well, I've read a couple more pages. I've read a couple more pages. I believe he's at an inn now. Ishmael is at an inn. Because I'm reading it perhaps more carefully, more deeply than you guys. That's my guess.
So how far are you? Finished chapter one.
Yeah, I'm on like page two of chapter two. But
okay.
Are you skimming, Adam? How far are you?
You yelled at me last time I told you.
No, go ahead.
I just finished chapter 12.
Okay, so you're skimming.
God.
That's what it is. He's not reading
I'm not
carefully.
I'm reading perfectly carefully.
Now, Adam, the 101st word in Moby Dick is hypos. H-Y-P-O-S. Exactly. You don't even remember reading it because you're skimming.
I'm not skimming.
And I looked up hypos, and I still am not sure what he meant by it. I don't know. The definitions in the dictionary don't seem to fit in the sentence.
What's the sentence?
It's the one about November in his soul. It's the one where he's talking about, you know, when he gets kind of down. I don't remember the entire sentence.
Like, that's
but
like the
I
first
remember.
Couple of pages, isn't it? Because that's when he goes to the sea.
Yeah.
It's the 101st word for those of you reading carefully. Oh, that would be just me. You know what? I really hope that Jon Favreau joins our book club, because I know, you know, what happens when a club gets started is there's little cliques, you know, especially in a book club. You're going to have the skimmers go really quickly on one side of the room, and then you're going to have the careful readers. And I know that Jon Favreau I don't know him personally, just from his voice, what I hear of him on Pod Save America. I just know that he would sit on my side of the room as a very careful, contemplative reader.
Well, as a careful, contemplative reader, do you have any impression of the book thus far, other than the fact that you don't understand the word hypos?
I'll tell you what. I'm really enjoying it, which is part of the reason that I hardly ever read it. Because... because, you know, you can't just be a pleasure glutton all of the time. I have dogs to walk. I've been reading it aloud to my dog, Mo, by the way, and she really enjoys it as well. But it's a reward, you know. So I'm so busy. I'm so unbelievably busy. I can barely get anything done. And there, that thick book flaps its cover at me in a mocking way sometimes. Chapter 12, we were never clear about how much we were going to read each week. Maybe we need to establish that, don't you think?
Yeah. Let's set a goal for next week before we go any further with this in-depth discussion of Moby Dick.
Paula, don't do that.
What do you think you can commit to by next week?
I don't know. Another page? I could do another page. Yeah, but Adam, I'm talking about careful reading, not skimming.
Well, if you were reading carefully, I would think you'd have something to say about it beyond what's hypos.
No, you know what you do? You draw a little stick figure up in the corner of each page, and then as you're reading, you just flip through really fast, and the little stick figure runs. That's not reading. That's not careful. In-depth reading.
I'm actually not reading a paper version of it. I'm reading it off my iPad.
Oh, for fuck's
you know
sakes. Well, you probably just downloaded it into your brain. That's cheating. That's cheating.
No. One of the reasons to read like the old classics in your iPad is that you can merely tap, or on a Kindle, you can merely tap a word that you don't know, and usually you'll get the definition of it. That's not true of hypos. Hypos, it's not easy to find a definition anywhere. But for most of the words, you can just look them up by tapping.
I don't want to tap, Adam. I don't want to just tap. I want to get out my dictionary and look up words. That's how you find other words that you weren't even intending to find.
That's true.
That might eventually go in, if you happen to have one, your vocabulary song.
Yeah, if you're one of those people, if you're one of the many people who have vocabulary songs that you add to every week, it's very helpful to use an old-fashioned paper dictionary.
I know someone who does have that, but I can't think of their name right now. But you know what? I want you to know.
Yeah. Yes.
I am metaphorically moving my chair away from your skimmer section.
I feel like I'm in the actually reading the book section is where I am.
No, you don't just read it. You reflect on it. So I also reflect a lot. Like today, I was saying to myself, what the fuck does hypos mean? And I just, turned that over in my brain a lot.
If I remember on that page, it was like melancholy. He was feeling the hypos of his soul or something like that. I do remember looking it up.
I took it as hypochondria.
Yeah, things that got him down.
Yeah.
Hypochondria is an interesting take. Hey, but as long as Tony has spoken up, Tony, where are you in the book and what are you thinking so far?
I'm up to chapter 8.
Jesus. She's a goddamn skimmer.
I always want to read more, but I wait till the last minute. So I read it at lunch today. It's a lot of words. It's like there's a whole chapter about breakfast. I'm not sure why we needed that.
It gets your day started. It's a healthy way to start your day, breakfast. That's why we needed that. You don't eat breakfast. You're going to be dragging till lunch. That's one of the things that Melville stood for. Is he on Twitter?
Not anymore.
Okay. Was he banned? Herman Melville was banned
on account
Twitter.
Of being dead for a century or so. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It made Trump feel so much better when he found out that Herman Melville had been banned from Twitter. It really was a comfort to him. So Tony, you know, I'm impressed by you reading to chapter 8, especially when you said you waited till the last minute. I waited till the last minute, and I only made it a page.
Well,
I'm not skimming. I do like to speed read, though. So I like to just kind of look at whatever speed read.
But Tony, you've already done that kind of like sitcom kind of introduction of the character of Queequeg.
Yes. And I was intrigued by the whole like I don't want to share a bed with him type of thing, and then like shenanigans ensue. But I think my favorite line of the book yet is, better sleep with a sober cannibal than a drunken Christian.
Ooh,
yeah, that's a good line.
That is a great line. Huh. Yeah, that is a great line. And I only wish I had an arm to wave it right now.
An arm?
Yeah, I made the mistake of sleeping with a sober cannibal.
Oh. Yeah, well, there you go. Well, that's a mistake.
Yep, young and careless.
Well, now, I don't want to offer any spoilers, but Tony, I'd say keep reading because you've got a sermon coming up, and then the friendship between Ishmael and Queequeg gets even odder. So you got some good times ahead.
Yeah, it feels like there's some like sexual undertones, but I think I might just be making that up because lonely.
Does Ishmael take a shower with somebody?
You know what, Tony? It's about to get more overtone than undertone in a minute. Because they're going to be snuggled into bed together, drinking cocoa and smoking pipes and hugging each other a lot. I don't think you're misreading this. Bonnie Burns. Okay. Bonnie Burns.
You know,
is there a special on pumpkin beer? And yeah. What
in,
do you think of Moby Dick?
Yeah, coming to you straight from the Arbolase Animal Clinic. You know, here's what I think from listening to y'all speak, like Tony, maybe I could just skip to chapter 18 and start there where it might be more interesting.
Wait, where are you?
Where am I? Well, I got as far as chapter 3.5 last week, in case you forgot. Here's what I think. You know how like when you start exercising and then you stop? And then it's really hard to start again. That's the experience I had this week.
With the book?
Yeah.
You know what I realized? I love audiobooks. I love listening to a book as a way to take in a piece of literature. But that's how you're doing it, right? You're listening.
Right. And so I put it off and I was going to do it like I did last week, which was... you know, the day before we did the show when I was playing with the dogs. And then I'm like, okay, I'll get to it. And then I never really got to it. But
you know, you could do it while exercising. You could listen while...
Oh, God, that would be worse. At least
I do think it'd be worse.
Yeah, oh God, that would be awful. But at least I was playing with them while I was listening. But here, I do have something. which is, I have something interesting about the book. Which is, did you know that there was a musical called Moby Dick?
No, I didn't know that.
No.
Was that in the audio version? Did they just stop and tell a little fact?
No, anyway... there was a musical called Moby Dick. No, just shut up, Tony.
No, Tony is absolutely right. You were so avoiding reading Moby Dick, even the audiobook, that you decided to Google it and give us a fun fact instead.
A Okay, it's okay, true. But here's what I've restrained myself doing because I do not want to cheat about this. I've restrained myself from, like, you know, the synopsis of the book, the movie of the book, and all of that. So I want to tell you something really interesting about it, which is there was a musical about Moby Dick, and it was like a Rocky Horror Show musical. It was like really campy. The story was that there was a private girls' school, and they decided to put on a production of Moby Dick in their swimming pool as a way to make money to keep the school from going under. And the headmistress was played in drag and doubled as Captain Ahab. And it was produced by Cameron Mackintosh, who you probably know was like a big producer in London, and opened on the West End. It only ran for 4 months and then became this big cult classic.
Wow. How did you find out about it? What the Hollywood celebrity that you showered with, was that the show that he had done? Okay, that's another,
I don't know.
That's
maybe
another
I was
clue for those of you who are following along. That's another clue about who Bonnie might have showered with. It was someone who was somehow involved with Moby Dick the musical.
I've got to say, much like the Pequod itself, our book club is starting to take on a little bit of water here. And I have my doubts. I have my doubts whether about half the people in this book club are ever going to find out what the Pequod is. But I do have Ken Lezebnik's contribution, which
Wait
I haven't
a minute.
Read yet.
I know what the Pequod is. I went to.
What?
I didn't go to college, but I've been to colleges before.
Uh huh.
It's that section of the quad where people go to pee.
Okay.
Like sometimes, you know, when they get kind of fucked up at like a beer party or something on the quad, and then they go to pee over in the pee quad.
Yes, it's right next to the poop deck.
that's correct.
Is the pee quad the name of the ship?
If my memory serves, it is the name of the ship. P-E-Q-O-D.
Oh, see, I knew that.
All right, there we go.
You know why she knew that?
Can I tell you?
Yes, do. Tell us.
Can I tell you the tagline to Moby Dick, the musical?
Did you just Google it?
Tony,
did you just Google it?
I did Google it.
Oh, damn it, Tony.
I couldn't resist. We were doing this show.
I couldn't resist.
What do you got, Tony?
It's, You sound like I'm in trouble.
I feel like our show's in trouble. Go ahead, though.
She's supposed to pay attention.
I am paying attention.
No, you're not.
Oh my gosh. Listen, hey, Pot, this is the kettle. You're black.
Wow.
Whoa.
Tony, are you going to give us that tagline or not?
These are razor-sharp lines flying back and forth from Captain Kringle Bonnie Burns to and Tony Anita Hall. Tony Anita Hall, I can't believe that you just made such a cutting insult to Captain Kringle the way you did.
Well, it's Mrs. Culpepper. Welcome to the show. Have you read Moby Dick, Mrs. Culpepper?
I read
the
whole
thing. If Paul Pouncer hasn't, maybe her hand puppet has.
I read the entire book while Paula Poundstone was messing around.
Oh, okay. And what did you think of the book, Mrs. Culpepper?
Well, it's about a man. It was written by Herman Melville. And Captain Skipper, and he has and his first
Captain
mate Gilligan, and there's a large fish.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't really read the whole thing, but I'm looking forward to
you
it.
You didn't read it either, Mrs. Culpepper.
I didn't, but I didn't Google it either. Tony Anita Hall, I did not Google.
You got that going for you. Can I just read Ken Lezebnik's contribution to book club? Because I'm hoping that when I unseal it, it will at least move the conversation forward.
Go ahead, Skimmer.
Here. Thank you. Here we go. I haven't read it yet. Here we go. I'll be in Brooklyn when this is read. And even though it takes us back to page one of chapter one, I wanted to point out a New York connection here. Ishmael talks about the streets of Manhattan taking us waterward. He says, its extreme downtown is the Battery, where the Noble Mole is washed by waves. Look at the crowds of water gazers there. Now, in 2021, I can go to the Brooklyn Promenade on any day and see the crowds of water gazers there, looking out from Brooklyn towards the Battery and the ships on the water. Whenever it is damp, drizzly November in my soul, I get to the sea, or at least the Brooklyn Promenade, which tells me that Ken Lezebnik didn't get past the first fucking page either.
Yeah, you know what? And here's what it tells me. He's still in Los Angeles. He lies about where he is. He's in L.A. What's the matter with him?
Oh, my God.
Hey, well, Skimmer, Paula, I got a word.
Yeah. Thank you.
Skimmer. My word
go
is
ahead.
Rictus.
I'm listening.
It's rictus. It's a noun that means a fixed grimace or grin. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. Mitch McConnell presents a school pitcher pose rictus when challenged on his hypocrisy. Let's put this right into the vocabulary song. Hold on. I gotta get my Glockenspiel. This week's word is rictus. It's a noun that means fixed grimace or grin. I'm happy for the best actress, even though I didn't win. Last week's word was decoction. It's a noun that means the action or process of extracting the essence of something. He's really just a mouth that won't stop lying. The week before that, we had inscrutable. It's an adjective that means impossible to understand or interpret. Lindsey Graham says stupid shit that I just don't get. Going back before that, we had garrulity. It's a noun that means excessive talkativeness, especially on trivial matters. I have 9 cats. I used to have 16. For a while, I had 11. They all left my furniture in tatters. Now I just have an Adirondack chair because it won't collect hair or pee. Not long ago, we had insalubrious. It's an adjective that means seedy or squalid, not well kept or clean. I should have mopped up after my cesarean. Let's never forget gallimaufry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody, James Harder, corrected me. It's a noun that means confused, jumble or medley of things. Hodgepodge, who's podge, hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, replicable, replicable. But I do, I do, I do.
All
right,
Paula. Ooh, nice. Yeah. Paula, that was some hot stuff right there.
You know
hot
what
song.
I was
song,
I, what I thought of, in fact, it's part of the reason that I didn't read any further this week, is Tony got a cat.
I did.
That's right. Tony Anita Hall got a cat and still managed to read a chapter or two of the book.
No, she read that before she got the cat.
Tony, tell us about your cat.
You can't. Once you get cats, you can't read. That's just a fact. That's just science, Adam.
But she told us she read at lunch today.
Yeah, I did read.
Yeah, but she went to the Trader Joe's to do it. You can't read at home once you have cats. I can't wait to get the guacamole that Bonnie's making in her back seat.
Hey, Bonnie, pick me up a box of those little chocolate, dark chocolate-covered stars. That's kind of my favorite current Trader Joe's thing. And if you have a little hot plate back there, you could do worse than to get the frozen gyoza are fantastic. I mean, the shumai. Yeah, get some shumai.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Shumai?
I like their bean and cheese burrito.
You know what shumai is? It's
yes, yes, I do.
It's footwear owned by Yoda.
Shumai.
I get it. Yep.
You know, by the way, I spoke with Yoda last night, and
yes,
he wanted me to tell you that you skimmed.
That's skim, all. I did not.
He calls you skimmer too. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, you know, coming up, Professor Russell L. Ackoff, a pioneering organizational theorist, wrote, "The more efficient you are at doing the wrong thing, the wronger you become. It is much better to do the right thing wronger than the wrong thing righter. If you do the right thing wrong and correct it, you get better." Let's find out how to become righter and more efficient in every way. That's next on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Oh, I got to get out of my car. They're having a special right now.
Hey guys, it's Adam, and tonight is January 3rd, and I am picking Giannis Antetokounmpo to score less than 36 points and James Harden to score more than 16. Why? Because I like beards. Am I putting a lot of money on this? I am not, because I'm not really a gambler, but I am having a lot of fun with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, who I would lose to, you pick more or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, or in my case, not. So I don't bet a lot. With the basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that include two or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce had a 10.5 combo of 3 points made, plus receptions. Do I get that? Kind of a little bit. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, that player is rebooted. So, it's like an insurance policy. Go to prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. And then drop by and see how I did with the Greek Freak and Harden again on January 3rd. My hopes are not that high. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
On this day in unremarkable history, Gypsy Rose Lee said, "The key to the whole thing is layering."
Thank you, house band Sister Dorothy. Paula, we'd all like to be more efficient, wouldn't we?
Oh, would I ever. In fact, I wish I could have even said that more quickly.
Yeah. If we could go about our tasks more efficiently during the day, we would have time at the end of the day for things like doing our reading for our book clubs and things.
Honestly, I can't get anything done. I look back at my day and I say, you know, I didn't do anything. I mean, I meant to.
Yeah, me too. And I feel like it's gotten worse during the pandemic when purportedly I should have more time because I'm home.
Isn't that what you'd think?
You would think, but it's not. Well, we're fortunate to have with us an efficiency expert who can efficiently answer our questions. Gwinnett Bird created Good for Business, a hands-on consulting firm that helps businesses become more efficient. Gwinnett was an attorney for over 16 years before starting Good for Business, as well as her professional home organizer company, Home Transitions. Her life's work is helping clients simplify their lives, reducing clutter, reducing stress, saving time and money. Please welcome Gwinnett Bird.
Yay!
Thank you, thank you.
Welcome,
welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
It's great to be here.
I feel like it's an emergency. I mean, the Moby Dick story, not the book itself, but the not reading the is a perfect example. I have a list of things that I intend to do, and somehow another thing ends up on the list somehow in the middle of the day so I don't get done. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, we all have long to-do lists, and they keep getting longer, and they spread out more and more throughout our houses and all over our desks. That's true.
Yes, I could wallpaper with my to-do list.
Exactly.
So wait, how did you become an efficiency expert?
Well, as mentioned, this is my second career. I was an attorney before. I sort of noticed as I was transitioning out of my attorney career that I was good at walking into especially small businesses and kind of noticing what was happening around the cash register with interactions with clients, with employees, with customers. And it would just sort of come to me that I could imagine a system or a process that was going to work better, or that, you know, I would notice what was working and what wasn't. And I thought to myself, wow, can I monetize that? It seemed like this kind of bizarre, skill set, I guess.
But just to be extra clear, you're not on this podcast to fire people.
Well, see, this actually is one of those secret things where your boss has given me certain goals and limits that we're going to set at this point. So we'll be speaking a little bit more later. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been stuffing things into a duffel bag while sobbing throughout this.
Did you bring your boxes from home?
I did, and I'm home already. So yeah, it's sad. All right. I'm sorry. Carry on, Paula. I'm okay.
I think we would be able to do the interview so much more efficiently if Adam wasn't interrupting. I wonder what we could do about that.
Oh, boy.
You're right. That's principle number one. Yes.
I wonder what kind of severance we could offer there. Adam, we're going to give you half of what you've made on the podcast this year.
Oh, my God.
So, Gwinnett, what kind of companies do you work with doing this?
Well, the majority of my clients are smaller companies. They have maybe 30 or fewer employees. And they're companies that started all as great ideas. Maybe one or two people got together and said, hey, let's do this thing. We're really good at it. We love it. And they just sort of launched without really giving a lot of thought to it and putting in place, structures, protocols. And then they find themselves 5 years out where they've grown, they're successful, and they've had to hire a social media person, a PR person, a graphics person, an HR, whoever, and they realized, oh my gosh, now we kind of have a real business and we maybe need some guidelines and some structure and we maybe need to cross-train people, or people are being duplicating efforts and we're not really keeping track of our supplies, or, they kind of have realized that they need another pair of eyes to come in and ask them, some questions about how they're still trying to meet their goals, but they're not duplicating efforts and wasting money and wasting time and turning away clients or for that matter, employees.
Mm-hmm. When you said cross-train, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you don't have enough employees to do all the work, you maybe need somebody who's doing both the accounting and the sales or marketing or social media, or you have somebody who's doing both the the PR and the HR. So it's just, it's a matter of how do you use the employees that you have with the skill sets of those employees in the way that can most benefit your business and your clients.
Can't that lead to dissatisfaction, though? I mean, usually when an employee gets disgruntled, it's because they feel like they're doing too many jobs and not getting enough for it.
Right. So that's the thing. So looking at it, could be that we want to cross-train, or it could be that the opposite is happening and they're doing too many jobs and we need to figure out maybe you do need to hire another part-time person. You know, so really it's taking a look at the structure of what's happening currently. And I do a lot of asking questions, asking employees what's working, what's not, what are their observations about what's working. And then I do a lot of observation. I will literally sit in an office, you know, for half a day in kind of a public area of the space and just kind of watch how things are working and how people are interacting. And so I get a lot of information just by that.
I do that in our own business here. Sometimes I just sit for a day. That seems to be when the others start to complain. Give me an example, Gwinnett, of one of those times where you sat and you looked and you had an idea to make things more efficient and you shared it with the people and they implemented it. And how did it work?
I would say a good example is noticing how many interruptions are being made for, in this one case, it was sort of senior manager, and how often there were employees either literally coming in the door or handing them something, or the phone was ringing, or they were checking their emails, and just noticing how that person wasn't able to really ever focus on what they were doing because there were so many interruptions, but they didn't even notice that was happening because they were just responding, putting out fires.
And they thought they were multitasking, right?
Exactly, Paula? Right. You know, we have this big thing in society now about multitasking, you know, and it's not always the best thing.
No, and there's no such thing anyways.
Yeah, obviously your brain can't be split in four different directions all at the same time. So, right, just noticing that and then, you know, asking, kind of coming back around and reviewing and saying, okay, now what were the most important things that you should have been doing today? What did you mean to get accomplished? What was going on? Are there things that could have been delegated that people didn't even need to come in and interrupt you? Or is there a way that we can structure your life to where you can tell people, I'm only available during these times to either check email or for office hours or for whatever, you know, with exceptions, of course, for emergencies or whatever, but kind of training people to realize that they don't have the boss's ear 100% of the time, all the time. And so that everybody can do their jobs. You know, some of it was creating dependence on, you know, them not thinking for themselves. but other parts of it were not the boss never having that time to do the big thinking too, because I always encourage employers to have time to carve out for the bigger picture planning and strategizing and things as well.
This is starting to sound a lot like parenting.
It could be. I have two teenagers, so I know something about that too.
It also, you know what it sounds to me like? It sounds like when John Kelly came on board in the Trump administration, that was one of the things he did, was there had been this open door policy to the Oval Office, and he weeded out the people that were able to go in and out so that the president could watch television without being interrupted.
Yeah. All right, bad example, but
I know, I'm not sure that's a great example, but okay.
No, because a lot of times he would miss shit on Fox News, and it was because they weren't letting him focus. And so this reminds me of. Yeah. Now you've only been on with us for a few minutes, but before we began the interview, we were just chatting. We hadn't started taping yet, and was that a chance for you to observe some of the inefficient dynamics of the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone crew?
Well, maybe that's why nobody listens, because everybody's talking.
That could be it. Oh, damn it.
It's quite possible. It is quite possible.
Yeah. My manager, Bonnie Burns, a.k.a. Captain Crinkle, she does what I think could be called speed listening, where she hears the first word and the last word, but really doesn't bother with the words in between. And that causes a lot of misunderstanding.
How efficient is speed listening?
Well, that's a really interesting idea. I'm not sure I've heard of that before. I would imagine that a person could do that in casual conversation, but if you're in your workplace, you might want to pay attention to what's happening because you might miss something really important. Like, maybe you should bury in the middle of those conversations the fact that they're going to get a raise if they can respond to a question, but then they miss out because they haven't been listening.
You know what I absolutely love right now? A, I think you're exactly right about that, but B, right now, my manager slash Bonnie Burns slash Captain Crinkle is in her car because there's a power outage in the town that she lives in. And so she doesn't have a charger. And so she's not sure when her devices are going to give out. And so she's not on right now on this call. She'll get back on later, but she wanted to not be on the call because she was concerned that it would suck up the rest of her battery life and she wouldn't be able to finish out the show. And so right now we can say whatever we want about her inefficiency.
But, basic tools to do your job are part, I recommend people to make available the basic tools for people to do their jobs. And so maybe that becomes an office supply request that she needs a portable charger to be able to do her job. Just a suggestion.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Now it's our fault.
I think you're thinking of bigger companies.
And by the way, if we had office supplies, Bonnie would have confiscated them all already anyway.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, she would have them stuck in her ear. we have Ken Lezebnik, who's lying right now and says that he's in Brooklyn, but he's really in Los Angeles, not on the call. We have Adam Felber. We have me, Paula Poundstone. We have Tony Anita Hull. And we have Bonnie Burns, and that's the whole company.
We've got Land Romo
company.
On the line.
Oh, excuse me. We have Land Romo, and of course, we have Wendell, my assistant Wendell. But
what a big company.
That is it. So what I'm wondering, Gwynnae, is should we fire anybody?
Well, I would have to know a little bit more about what every person does before I can make that recommendation. And actually, I've never made that recommendation to anybody. We've talked about maybe retraining or cross-training or something, but we haven't talked about firing.
Tonight could be a first. 19th century Scottish author Samuel Smiles said, "The shortest way to do many things is to do only one thing at once." Stay tuned to find out more about becoming efficient in your life and business. The cat of the week is Monster from Narragansett, Rhode Island.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, "Please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?"
It's completely improvised, and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back with efficiency expert Gwynnae Bird. Now, Gwynnae, you are a master of both time and space, and we've decided that we're going to start with time. Paula, talk about your time management problems.
All right, I'll give you an example. So I keep a notebook wherein I write sort of my list of things to do, or it's, you know, stuff that I'm trying to keep at the forefront of my brain anyways. And I get up, I have an hour and a half of chores to do before I even eat breakfast, which is just shit, like sifting litter boxes and cleaning the backyard from the dog waste and cleaning out the cat bowl. You get the idea. Just chores that I have to get done before I can even begin my day. Let's see. I have to walk the dogs. I usually, on a good day, I walk both dogs separately. On a, you know, less good day, I walk just one. I have to feed the cats at 3 o'clock. I have to sift again at 1 o'clock. I have to sift again at 7 o'clock. I have to sift again at 9 o'clock. Do you see? I have 9 cats, Gwynnae, and 6 litter boxes. I have to feed the cats. I think I feed them at 7 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 9 o'clock at night. I'm supposed to take eye drops, two different kinds in the morning and again at night, and I seem to only remember one each time. And what I really need to get done every day, in addition to those sort of, you know, can't survive without jobs, comes my, you know, writing, and then at late at night I make what do you call it? Cameo videos for people. And I think that's the majority of it, I guess.
So it sounds like a lot of your day revolves around your animals.
Yeah. Are we going to fire some of them?
No, I mean, I think that's wonderful. You're an animal lover and everybody knows that. And it's great. The first thing that comes to mind is the ability to delegate. If there's any way to delegate, for example, hire a dog walker once in a while, or maybe hire somebody to come in once in a while to help with just some of those basic chores so that you're not having to do them all the time. Or maybe
I did have that, you know, in the past, but of course now we're dealing with a COVID schedule, right? So yeah. I did so have that different. In the past, but I don't feel it's safe any longer, you know, not just for the person who might
come
in.
Right now it's different. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that we all had to make modifications for that reason, no doubt. But I mean,
I'll tell you, it is really hard to get a mask on a cat. And I have nine.
That in itself would take you all day getting those masks on and off. Yeah,
exactly.
I can see that. Yeah. So not being able to delegate, then it's a matter of using the time in between all of that a little bit more efficiently. And maybe it's as simple as kind of setting a timer to say for your writing, for example, you know, are you more, do you have more energy in the morning or the afternoon or the evening? You know, recognizing that you're, you know, more creative, more energetic at a certain time, and then using that time to its fullest.
That's a good idea. You know what? I make the mistake sometimes of pushing things like writing. I say to myself, well, I'll do it once I have my bed out. Because I don't have a bed. I sleep on the floor, and I have blankets on the floor, and then I get up in the morning and fold them and put them in a box, the bed box, in fact. And then I put them out again at night. And I always say to myself, well, after I finish the cameo videos, you know, after the bed is out, then I'll sit down and write. And that's when I'm going to read Moby Dick. And a lot of times I run out of steam by that time.
Right. Well, I would say this is a case of scheduling appointments with yourself, whether that's to get done the mundane things of paying bills or the more important things of making money by writing and letting your creative juices flow. So I would say scheduling time, that's just your time you blocked out for you, which includes the fact that you won't be taking phone calls from people. You won't be checking emails. You know, you kind of announce to the world, I'm in my appointment between 10 and 12 or whatever the time is. So nobody expect me to respond to them. You know, nobody expect anything from me because that's my time for me. So it's carving out that time to make sure that you actually get that done. Because I would imagine that one of your high priority things in your life is actually doing things to make money. So make an income.
Well, it
so
is, you want to schedule as it that turns out. Yeah, yeah.
Turns out people need that.
I just realized that that was not an entirely honest appraisal of my day, which shows you how insidious what really happens in my day is, which is, you know what I'm forgetting entirely about, is the motherfucking computer. I'm forgetting entirely about Twitter and email and, you know, checking the news to make sure that we haven't, you know, that nobody's pulled the switch. I've totally forgot about that. And that, I couldn't even tell you how much time that takes.
Yeah, and that's a big one for people, whether it's legitimate use of your computer or time sucks, like social media. So, in terms of the legitimate use, that is to say that, you know, actually having to respond to emails and stuff, I often recommend to people to set an email policy and let everybody know what that policy is. For example, I will be checking emails 3 times a day at 9, at 1, and at 6, or whatever the times are. You know, please don't expect to receive a response from me except for during one of those times. And in other words, because I see this all the time where companies, and especially in the age of texting and Twitter and instant gratification, if somebody sends out a text or an email or something to somebody in their company or even a friend and they don't get a response within 5 or 10 minutes, they sort of panic. They wonder, oh, I wonder if they're okay. Did they get it? Should I send it again? What should I do? And, you know, we kind of all have this really frenzied feeling around being responsive to people. And I think that's one of the number one things I end up doing with virtually everybody is asking them to set an email and or text or whatever other means of communication policy and let everybody around them know that that's what you're doing so that they don't expect to hear back from you. And then they don't duplicate their efforts by calling. Because a lot of times you don't respond to my email, so then they call you. You know, so oh, it's like a constant interruption.
Bonnie Burns does that. Oh my God. If she were here, my Lord, sometimes my phone rings and I'm really busy. So I don't answer because I'm doing email and it's an email from Bonnie that I'm reading and she's calling and then I don't answer. So I get a text message from Bonnie saying, Adam, listen to my voicemail right. message no. so that you can respond
I
to my email.
A great exactly. suggestion.
Hey, Bonnie's here.
Because I'm trying to get
Bonnie,
him.
Bonnie, you're here.
You're here, Bonnie.
I thought for sure
oh, yeah.
you were.
I'm here.
Are you still in the parking lot?
I'm in the parking lot. I'm worried I'm going to lose power, but Glenn Romo explained that I was on anyway because I was listening. Something, whatever.
Okay, well,
oh, yeah.
So
you're saying that when I don't answer the phone, you text and email me because you're
it's
trying to get me.
It's important that I get a hold of you.
But yeah. What you don't realize, Adam, is that while she has you on the phone, she's driving towards your house.
No, because Adam is not a good email checker. So...
Oh, because he does it efficiently.
And he doesn't always answer his phone. But I think
I'm a writer, Bonnie.
Idea.
I have to write.
Well, whatever.
All right, Gwynne has a great idea, which is?
This thing of setting times when you're going to check your email, I think would certainly make my life more efficient. It's a lot of distractions to keep going over to the email and see what's going on there and then answer the email. It's 100% right. I'm going to try it.
Well, excellent. I mean, you can even go so far as to set an out-of-office message that comes up or auto-response that says, thank you for your email. I'll get back to it at X time or by the end of the day or something like that to reassure people that it was received and that you're paying attention, but that they can't sit around waiting for a response.
I like it.
You know, you'd probably be even more efficient by thinning the herd of the emails that you receive, and so your automatic message could be "fuck you, I'm walking the dogs," and then you just wouldn't get as many.
Yeah, that would probably work.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you can get really like fancy and set up like automatic things where any incoming mail comes from specific people and it goes to a specific inbox, and so you can prioritize that way. And you can get really fancy, and so you can say, "I really want to hear from Bonnie," or "No, she's lower priority. I'm going to let those go into the other wastebasket." You know, whatever. So you can do it how you want. But,
I'm not saying that out loud. I'm not saying Bonnie's low priority.
Put Adam in my lower wastebasket.
Wait a minute. I'm just saying that as a gentleman with two children and a job during COVID times, sometimes other things have to take priority, like writing. Let me segue to space, because I do a pretty good job managing time. But clutter, you're good with clutter, right? Because I'm not.
Yes, yes.
Now, it seems like in my house, and maybe it's because I do have the two kids, and my wife and I are literally running two extra businesses out of the house right now, but it just seems like no matter how much we declutter, it's always cluttered here.
Well, and of course, clutter is subjective, so everybody has a different standard for what is important to them, and it may be that you and your wife have a different standard, so that's maybe important to communicate about, but... my number one principle is that everything in your space should have a purpose. And so by purpose, I mean you either use it and need it on a regular basis, or you just love it. It really brings you pleasure. You know, it's something important, special, sentimental. So I want people to intentionally choose every single thing that's in their house, whether that's a piece of paper that comes in from the mail, whether it's a piece of furniture, whether it's a kitchen gadget, whether it's whatever it is. I want you to have thoughtfully brought it into your house and not just let it accumulate. And that starting with that will let you weed out a lot of stuff.
I see a lot of glass figurines taking a hike right now.
So the phrase this could come in handy at some point is not a good one to use when in terms of like what you should have in your house.
Yes, versions of that are things like I might need this someday. Yeah, that's not a purpose. That's I say if you don't have a purpose, then I want to hear a specific plan. So there's kind of two P's there. But a specific plan is not I might need this someday. A plan is I am, accumulating this for the, April 10th when I'm going to be doing this project. And so I'm going to use all these things on that date or whatever, instead of just like generally letting it hang out in your space.
So I should throw out all the Band-Aids and defibrillators and medical equipment and whatnot.
If there's somebody that's having medical issues in your home that you might
well, not
need to
right
have
now.
This for, that's probably a good idea.
Not at this second, but
I have feminine hygiene products just in case, I ever have eggs again. Is that a good idea?
You okay, never
that
know.
Might come under the category you never of TMI. Know. But so
okay,
you know,
I have
I've
like
had
a,
nurses.
I have an enormous roll of cheesecloth because I might learn to make cheese someday. What's your feeling about that?
So those are the kinds of things that I call preemptive buying. When you're at the store and you see something that's really cool, or it's on sale, or you know you need to get two or three of those, and then you buy it in, with the wishful thinking that you're actually going to use it someday, and then you never do. And 5 years later, you've called me to realize that you need to get rid of it. So I always say to people, wait and buy those things, and when you actually need it, when you're actually going to do the thing, when you actually resolve, today I'm going to use this, I need cheesecloth, I need to go out and get it right now because I'm going to use it, instead of having it conveniently on hand because you bought it 5 years ago.
I got a chest cutter at a medical supply store once, just in case, just in case I go to medical school.
Well, that sounds like a really great use of your space, yeah.
Well, Gwynne, thank you for helping us get more efficient. It is unbelievable to have you with us, and getting this information is going to help my life. But now we're going to take the information that you just gave us and run it through the old Pouncedonator. Paula?
Hey, Sister Dorothy, first of all, thank you so much. You sound fantastic. If I can get just a little background music here, I'll tell you what the Pouncedonator spit out. Dear email correspondent, thank you for writing Miss Poundstone. Rest assured, she has received your email and is heavily invested in resolving your issue. If she owes you money, her scheduled responding time is between 7 a.m. Eastern and 7:15 a.m. Eastern Time. If you are requesting a video from Miss Poundstone for your virtual charity fundraiser, her scheduled taping time is 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern Time. If you would like to borrow anything from Miss Poundstone, her time to look for the item you want is between 8 a.m. and 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. If you are hoping to catch up socially, you likely have the wrong email address. But if you don't, please be aware that Miss Poundstone catches up on social emails from 8:15 to 8 a.m. Eastern Time. All others, please feel free to text, which Miss Poundstone doesn't do at all. P.S. Miss Poundstone doesn't get up until 9 a.m., and she lives on the West Coast.
She's the owner of Good for Business and Home Transitions. Thanks for being with us. Gwynne Bird, everybody. Thank you, Gwynne.
Yay! Thanks, Gwynne. Thank you. Gwynne. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
I want to say this as efficiently as I can. Thanks.
It's been great. Take care.
You were wonderful. Thank you so much. Take care.
Coming up, you've written us more theme songs, more entries in our theme song contest, coming up right after this.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun fact, during the long winters, the Alaskan wood frog can hold in its own pee for up to 8 months. And the fact that anyone has observed this tells you a lot about how dull things get during Alaskan winters. All right.
Wow, I wonder if I could wait 8 months.
True fact. Mm. They wait until it gets warm, and it doesn't get warm for 8 months.
Well, they probably need the pee for the warmth.
And we're back, and wow, this is exciting. Tony and Ada Hull, I am told that you have more entries in our long-dormant theme song contest. Paula?
Adam, answer the phone!
What, really? No.
Yeah.
Paula, the contest is over. Why would I want to answer the phone?
Adam, answer the phone!
Oh. Hello?
Adam? Hi, Winnie. It's me. Winnie Rose Fineman. I'm so happy, Adam. You must have talked Mike into giving me his 100th caller prize of hanging out with you after the game and any appliance I want from Roger Federer's appliance store. Probably because of your guilt about my mother's crock pot. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No, Winnie, I am happy to honor the terms of the 100th caller contest, if happy is the word, but I just took the calls. Mike Boom Boom Bonifit was the 100th caller, and giving you the prize was entirely his idea.
That is so beautiful. I know your heart, Adam. You would never want to toot your own horn. That's just who you are.
Winnie, I'm telling you, it was Mike who generously thought to give you his prize. It was not me.
I knew you were a good person, Adam. I've always known that you were a good person. My mother and I fight like cats and dogs about you. I mean, she hates your guts. But I always knew you were the best.
Why does your mother hate me, Winnie?
Well, she's not blind to the way you've toyed with my heart, I'm sure.
Oh, for God's
but
sake.
The crock pot, she's never forgiven you for the crock pot. I don't think she's gonna. Did you get the oven mitts?
Wait, Winnie. I did nothing to your mother's crock pot. I never
Adam,
got the crock pot.
She's old-fashioned. She thinks that when you borrow something, you return it. Did you get the oven mitts?
What oven mitts?
I sent you oven mitts because I know you like to cook. So I sent you oven mitts where I needle-pointed a portrait of myself, Winnie, on one, and I needle-pointed a portrait of you on the other, with hearts surrounding each.
Oh, no, I haven't received them. But that was very nice of you to make me oven mitts.
Well, I needle-pointed them, Adam, but I didn't make the mitts themselves. They're my mother's, or they were. She burned her hand on a pot last night. She's so pissed at you.
Winnie, I do not want you to be making me anything, really. If you could
I gotta go! I gotta go! She's coming! Ma! I'll get you some ice! Stop yelling!
Oh, my Lord. Well, there's our 100th caller contest winner, Paula. Winnie Rose
Fineman.
Oh,
man, you guys are going to have the best time. She just loves you. I mean, you can do no wrong with her.
Oh, I wish I could. Hey, Tony and Anita Hull, you said you had some theme song contest entries, right?
Yes, I do. The first one comes from tonight's house band, Sister Dorothy.
Nobody listens to PAULA, Paula Poundstone. Nobody.
That's great. Wow. That is something special. Thank you. And by the way, that theme song is on Sister Dorothy's new album, right, Tony?
Yes, it is. You can find it at sisterdorothy.com.
Thank you so much, Sister Dorothy. That's one. And thank you very much for being our house band as well. It sounded great all night long.
Yeah, you've been sounding great all night long. I love that theme song. It's a little light in the lyrics department, but I think that's kind of its charm.
Yeah. No, I think it leaves it to the imagination of the listener.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Tony, who else we got?
From Minneapolis, Minnesota, we have Corey Savett.
I think it's Savett.
Paula Poundstone. Paula Poundstone has a podcast you should be listening to. Bonnie and Tony and Paula Poundstone, that's the podcast crew. Paula. Paula. Paula Poundstone and her podcast crew, and Adam's on every show.
Yay. You know, I got to tell you, Corey, the minute that you left me out in that third line, I knew I was coming in at the end with that. Adam's on every show. But I did appreciate that wonderful jazz chord, TV theme song type jazz chord to end it.
I think that, first of all, thank you, Corey. That was, I think it's Corey Civet, isn't it?
Civet. It is.
I like to focus on the vet. From
it
Minneapolis,
is.
Minnesota, where they make some fine musicians. I think we should have t-shirts that say Adam is on every show.
I'd be happy to not have that happen. I still, after all this time, feel that that's sort of like a very backhanded compliment.
I don't think that it is. In fact, I think, you know, that's something you might want to talk to Winnie about when you guys are hanging out after the show.
Oh,
I mean, after the game, excuse me.
You're enjoying that way too much, Paula. Tony, what else do we have going on theme song-wise?
We have one more, The Dead Cats from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. No, she's a fucking genius, you know. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, even though she's got her own show. There's experts and animals, the occasional kazoo, but no one gets a word in without Adam there, too. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, though she's a fucking genius, you know. You're gonna listen to Paula Poundstone because this is her show.
Wow.
I'm so excited that dead cats love me too.
Yeah, the dead cats. I wonder if we went to Minneapolis when this is all over, if the dead cats are a genuine gigging band. But I love that one. It hit all the notes. You know, it had the fucking genius part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. They were very observant.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Well, you know what? Our theme song contest has been kind of dormant for the past bunch of shows. Yeah. You know, after our first 100 or so theme songs. But I feel like this particular batch, it might have revitalized the genre. Once again, if you want to send your theme song entries, send them to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Now, Paula, what's going on in your Poundstone product empire this week?
Adam, I want people to know that Poundstone Pussy Pillows continue to sweep the nation, and they're so much better than the My Pillows. They are 4x5-inch catnip-filled pillows with a cat joke on one side, leaving the other side free for me to autograph it to your cat. It also has a grommet, so you can tie a string to it and drag it for your cat to chase. When I'm not dragging a pussy pillow for my own cats, I'm making video messages for people's friends, family, coworkers, and mortal enemies, which are available at cameo.com/PaulaP33. I did one for Batman recently. It sounded like this. Joker, hi, it's just me, Paula Poundstone, reaching out to you on behalf of Batman. I'm kind of a joker too, by the way. Maybe I'll see you around at a benefit or something. Anyway, Batman wants you to know that he understands you had a difficult life, and it doesn't matter. He's going to get you. There's more, of course, but Heidi.
Yeah, I know, Heidi. And hey, Paula, it's been a very exciting football season, I'm told, and I've been there for some of it. Bonnie could tell you more about it, but I'm here to announce right now that coming up this Sunday, from when this podcast drops, me and Jeff Cesario, a.k.a. Chet Waterhouse, are going to be simulcasting the Super Bowl.
When is the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl Sunday, this coming Sunday. And what you're going to do is you're going to watch it on the network you always watch it on, but go to the Stereo app, which you can find download information for on, just go to my Twitter feed. You'll see it there, at Adam Felber. You download the Stereo app, and you can listen to us call the Super Bowl while watching it on our sister network. Pretty exciting stuff.
That sounds great.
Oh, it is.
What's
sounds
all that
like
noise?
Somebody's moving furniture.
Bonnie, was that you?
Bonnie, Bonnie's in the car. Oh, Bonnie's in the car. Bonnie, did you just get carjacked?
I think somebody just either ran into the back of my car or fell something blue on my trunk. And there's like a fire engine in here or something. I don't
oh
know.
My God,
I'm not going to get out and look.
What is happening?
That, we're in the middle of taping.
Somebody just rear-ended
you, okay?
you,
Are you
in
safe?
The Trader Joe's parking lot.
Did you hear the clunk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. The car moved.
Is
really?
What the hell? Is anybody behind you?
It's pitch dark here. The only thing you can see is the Trader Joe's sign lit up in red.
Holy shit, Bonnie. Well,
their lights, their parking lot lights aren't on.
I don't, when we're done, I'll get out and look and see what happened. It's
Bonnie, this isn't safe.
This isn't safe.
Oh yeah, my God.
Will you keep going? I'm afraid I'm going to run out of power.
Okay. You can subscribe to the podcast. Here. It's free. You'll get it every week. No charge. Our email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Paula, I got to get through this.
That's
our show.
It seems petty to talk about anything else while Bonnie's being carjacked, don't you think?
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. While you're talking, I'll run out and look at the back. You keep talking.
Oh, that sounds safe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I was being sarcastic. Oh, my God. Did we lose her?
So Bonnie's being carjacked, and I'm selling pussy pillows all at the same time.
It's a big, big old world.
The fuck was that? Did you hear that boom, boom?
I'm hearing it. I don't... I wish our listeners understood how not staged this is.
Okay.
What happened?
You know, it's so ridiculous. A cart blew into the back of my car.
A cart? It was a fucking shopping cart?
A shopping cart blew into the back of my car.
Oh. So the fire engines are there for something else.
Something else. Yeah.
Well, that's a relief.
Wait, that made a loud thud.
No, that's not true. It's, you know,
only
Trader Joe's.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Trader Joe's is a really high-end grocery store. So when...
And fortunately for Bonnie, they feature plastic shopping carts.
Well, no, what happens is it's so high-end that when you get hit with a shopping cart, they send out the fire department. A lot of cities' budgets are being cut really tight, but Trader Joe's, you know, has cachet. So
they still have that pull.
Yeah, if you buy that peppermint chocolate bark shit, then you get firefighter protection all the way to your car.
That's great. I'm gonna get us out of here. That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam DeFelber. Special thanks to our guest, Gwynne Bird. And thanks to House Band Sister Dorothy.
Gwynne.
Yeah, and woo-hoo! Dorothy.
Sister
our
Dorothy.
Show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, and the still living Bonnie Burns. Also, Ken Lezebnik and Tony Nita Hall. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. And believe me, you'll want a transcription of this one. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Yeah, if you get hit just by one of the little plastic handheld baskets, they don't send the whole fire department.
You know, in a slasher movie, there's that moment where you're like, oh, it's just the wind in a shopping cart, and then it's wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind, buddy.
It's just the wind. It's just a shopping cart. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's that really scary movie where the guy goes, I ain't no fucking shopping cart. And then he kills the woman.
Yep, yep. Oh, and then there's that one where Robert De Niro is clinging to the bottom of the shopping cart.
Oh, geez, that's a scary movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there's the one where there's different parts of Betty Davis in the part where you put your purse.
Wow.
Yeah. You gotta be, you have to be so careful in Trader Joe's parking lot.
No. I think what it is the lines went down or something, and the fire truck was coming for that. The wind is so strong.
Keep telling yourself that, Mommy.
My car is being buffeted back and forth.
Yes, oh, you think it's wind. It's yeah. Robert De Niro. Yeah, in just a second, Robert De Niro is going to put his face, like, smush his face on your window and go, I ain't no fucking wind.
I have whiplash in that car sitting in the back of my car. It blew in here so hard.
Scarpins Audio, a podcast network.